This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. With Starbucks and other retailers saying they'll eliminate plastic straws, experts like Bruce Novak are facing a key question. How much of an impact does plastic have on our environment and on modern life? A chemistry professor at the University of Texas at Dallas is here to talk about the science of plastic. Bruce Novak, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
I know there are a zillion different types today, but I'm wondering, how did all of this get started? How do we invent plastic?
People have known about natural occurring polymers for a long time. And when I say polymers, I'm talking plastics. Mm-hmm. But there was very key experiments that were done in about the 1930s and up in through the 1940s developing what became nylons.
So how long until after the invention of nylon did we get to the other plastics we're familiar with today, like polyethylene and whatnot?
The real key benchmark for what we call what is commonly called plastic materials in today's world are the polyolefins, the polyethylenes, the polypropylenes, and those were created in the mid-1950s in an experimental laboratory and then commercialized very shortly after.
How did plastic become so prevalent? It seems like it's on or in everything.
It's true. And because it's a very versatile material, small changes in chemical structure can make great differences in the outcome of its characteristics. And we use chemistry in a very careful way to design those features in. So we can make polymers that are conduct electricity, plastics that conduct electricity, nearly as good as copper metal.
Conservation-wise, why do you think so much of the focus is on plastic straws right now? Do they cause specific problems? I mean,
No. They're a plastic material, a plastic object that people identify with.
Can you recycle straws?
You can recycle straws, but here's the dirty little secret about recycling plastics. Of all the recyclable plastics that are collected, only 14% are actually put into a recycle stream. The rest are either burned, end up in our environment, or in landfills. And that is staggering and I think heartbreaking to conscientious consumers out there that take the time to clean and dispose of the recycles in a very important way.
I'm curious, are scientists actively looking to replace plastic in other processes, like, say, beyond consumer goods?
There is a large effort in approaches to design polymers that will degrade. We will always have polymers. We've gone too far to reverse the clock and go backwards. We rely too heavily on them. You have ceramics, you have metals, you have wood products, things of that nature, but none of those possess these overarching properties that can be derived from synthetic materials. Plastic is persistent because we made it to possess that characteristics. And you just have to get out and look at, for example, in the oceans, the great plastic rafts that are out in the ocean. And the Pacific Ocean has thousands and thousands of square miles, in fact, equal to the size of two states of Texas, that is nothing but a large conglomerate of plastic that has been collected over the years. Nothing in the water and nothing that's airborne has any impact on the life of that plastic.
And how does that make you feel as a researcher that this is such a useful material, but it's also such a horrible pollutant?
I have mixed feelings, to be honest with you. I went into polymers in the mid-80s when I was getting my PhD. I was seduced by their wonderful properties and the way that we could make them. It was an exciting frontier time. But as I've gotten older and you start to reflect on the world and how we manage our waste, I feel real bad about not necessarily my contributions, but the field in general. I really do need to emphasize the fact that we can do a lot better job recycling.
Bruce Novak is Dean of the School of Natural Sciences and Mathematics at UT Dallas. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.